Well, it is time again for another wrap-up of the presidential political polls. Now, I do these podcasts about every month or so leading up to the election. And the reason I do them is most people and all of media is obsessed with the dumbest question in politics, and this is who's going to win. And I'm going to explain that, but unfortunately, there are some very smart people asking the dumbest question in politics, who's going to win. We're going to talk about that in Bob Davis Podcast 944, the Bob Davis Podcasts. I want to give everybody a chance to sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter. Here's what you do. Go to the page of the BobDavisPodcast.com. If you're online, it's over on the right-hand side of the page. Scroll down a bit, and it will say, sign up for the Bob Line newsletter. It's right around where the picture of Mobile Podcast Command and the donate button is. Thank you, Sue Solomon, for $25. You can sign up there also on a mobile device. If you scroll all the way to the bottom on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, you're going to see the sign up down there. You enter your email address and then your name. And then what's going to happen is a spam filter. You're going to get an email and then you're going to have to agree, yes, I want the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter. And people are signing up and it's great. It's sponsored by Supply Solutions, which is a business-to-business company that provides paper and bathroom supplies and things of that nature at really good prices. I'll tell you more about that in the newsletter, but there's going to be things happening with the newsletter in the future that will be pretty cool. So sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, and thank you. We've been talking a lot about real estate in these podcasts recently, and if you're buying or selling, whether it's investment property or your own home or a condominium, it's really important that you have a good real estate lawyer, and I can recommend Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law. Whether it's your first house, a lake home, a second home, a rental property, downsizing, if you are heading to the close and you forgot the most important thing, which is having Tim LaCroix there, Tim LaCroix Law, there to help you with the process, then stop and delay the close until you have Tim LaCroix, because he has the experience and knowledge, especially for first-time home buyers and investors, that can help you. Real estate can be complex, and when people are handed a pen, most of the time they just sign it and they don't understand what they're doing. They forgot the most important step. Get Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law. Real estate attorneys, residential, commercial, contractor and construction, residential rentals, mortgage and community associations. Call Tim up at 763-226-0758 if you have a question. You can also check him out on LinkedIn or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. That takes you to his LinkedIn page and you can interact with Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law there. Let's review the basics, okay? There are 50 individual state elections and a few territories. Territories do not vote for the president. And in fact, in your individual state, at your individual polling place, you're not actually voting for the president. Yes, you select a presidential vote, but you're only really selecting local offices, state offices, congressmen, senators, judges, and things of that nature. The state legislature has already or will select the actual electors in your state. These are people who actually vote for the president. Now, in most states these days, those electors are bound by the popular vote, and that popular vote is determined by the candidate who wins a plurality or a majority of voters in the state on election day. I use the word plurality because it is the key to this discussion about who's going to win. When we talk about politics in the United States, a plurality is a number of votes cast for a candidate who receives more than any other but doesn't really receive an absolute majority. And most statewide elections are actually pluralities as opposed to majorities. We've all been raised with the concept of American politics being the majority wins. That's actually not true. And I don't have time to explain that in this podcast, but the majority does not always win in United States politics, and it's okay. Electors are appointed by state legislatures, and they select the president. The number of electoral votes in a state depends on the population of that state. So we in the U.S. have ended up with presidential contests based on electoral vote-rich states. This is intensified when one party traditionally wins certain vote-rich states or regions by majorities. For example, California for Democrats and New York State for Democrats, the South or the West for Republicans. So what happens then is we then have this concept of so-called battleground states, sometimes referred to as swing states, where a presidential campaign can manage narrow wins to manage an electoral victory, which in fact is the real victory. But usually this victory is a plurality. It's just a few more votes to win. Once again, the popular vote is not what we use to select the president, so we don't pay attention to popular vote polls, because why? We select our presidents using the Electoral College, so populations and regions become significantly more important in our system than the popular vote. As far as whether you think this is a good idea, doesn't matter, and it isn't going to change anytime soon. So let's just forget about having that argument. When it comes to presidential elections, all politics in this country is geared to this electoral process, plain and simple. This is a fact of life. So it will always come down to key states winnable by either political party by as small as a plurality, as like 0.5%. And that happened in the last election. Now, occasionally we have political realignments, and that changes who wins majorities and which states are actually battlegrounds. We're not in that kind of a state right now. We may be. We'll see if that happens this year. But we're not in a new political system, so to speak, where the political parties flip and suddenly New York becomes a Republican state, California becomes a Republican state, and the South becomes Democrat. So sometimes that happens. It isn't necessarily the parties by name, but we're in something like the fourth. I think we're in the fifth political system, as the academics call it, in the United States in the current time frame, which is Republicans and Democrats. Now, when it comes to polls, if you're one of those people who says polls lie, then you're an idiot and you should just turn off the podcast now, because there's nothing I can do for you. Here's the reality. The polls are just the polls. A rose is a rose by any other name. They don't lie or tell the so-called truth, because there is no truth until the electors vote. So what we do in this country is we elect presidents state by state, and we elect them by electors. So in order to figure out what's going on, what we do as analysts is we examine poll trends in closely contested states. And then that yields probabilities, and those probabilities tell a story. They do not tell you who's going to win. My pet peeve is media feeds on answering the dumbest question in politics by saying, in effect, new polls show that so-and-so is in the lead, or new polls show so-and-so would win by a landslide if the election were held today. The story is simply that this is the challenge for both campaigns. So when I tell you that so-and-so is leading in a certain state, that just basically explains to you the challenge that a campaign is facing. Elections are decided by the people who vote, not by the people who predict, not by the people who conduct polls, and more accurately, by the people who count the votes. And specifically, presidents are chosen by those who count the votes in individual states, since those who count the votes are going to come up with a result, and that result is what most of the electors are going to vote on. And this is especially true in battleground states, where the vote can go either way. So in the second half of this podcast, I'm going to run down the latest polls in these battleground states. Well, a lot of people are looking at their house and thinking, gee, you know, we should stay in this house. There's a lot we can do, whether it is a four-season porch for an office or an in-home office or something to that effect. Or take a look at your garage, because Whitetail Builders of Andover, Minnesota is really good at turning those garages and man caves into really amazing places. Whether it's a separate garage or a joined garage, these are the guys to talk to about turning it into something real. Call Randy Grabo at 612-282-8801. Randy will be very excited to talk to you about what you want to do. 612-282-8801, Whitetail, focused on the details, and they're going to be with you every step of the way, right? And this is why I refer Randy Grabo at Whitetail Builders, because they do great work. He is an amazing craftsman, and he has real high integrity, and he's going to make sure that you're happy and that he's with you every step of the way. Whitetail Builders at whitetailbuildersinc.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. it has been great having the independently owned and operated, community-focused refueling station at 36 and Lindale Avenue in the Loon Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis as a sponsor recently. Not only are those guys at 36 and Lynn refueling out to help the community in the sense that they get a better deal on fuel and they can sell it at a price that they want because they're independent, they also feature a great selection of locally sourced products in the store. Remember, 36 and Lynn, next time you swing through Minneapolis and need gas or a cup of coffee. For more info and great 36 Lynn events, check them out online at 36lyn.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So I did the last poll roundup at the end of June when the media was saying Democrat Joe Biden might win by a landslide, right? And I said at the time it was premature to make that statement, and it still is. It's also premature to say that the president will win by a landslide, even though I could say right now that the president has his work cut out for him. We are roughly 90 days from the U.S. election on November 3rd, 2020. Everybody, of course, is focused on the presidency, but the political makeup of the Senate and the House hang in the balance as well. And also a score of individual elections, governors, state legislatures, judges, county councils, and so forth, where applicable. These are the people that you actually vote for. And so I always ask, do you know who your congressman is? Don't look it up. How about senator? What about your sheriff? What about your mayor and city council or judges and so on? These are the people who actually make decisions affecting your local town, schools, and counties. And in fact, we're having this big debate now about whether schools are going to open up. In fact, those are decisions that are going to be made by local authorities. So when you say, I don't care about anything but the presidential election, or the media says, all we're going to do is talk about the presidential election, well, they're giving short shrift to the people. Most recently with the riots, who have shown us that they really are the people that make the decisions that affect us the most, okay? A month after my first poll roundup podcast, the research results are tightening up. Now, this happens in every presidential election. As you get closer and closer, the poll numbers get tighter and tighter. There's a wrinkle about this, which I'm going to explain toward the end of the podcast, but stay tuned for that. So what do the polls in battleground states show, Bob Davis? We want to know who's going to win. So the states that President Trump has to win in order to win a second term are essentially the battleground states. These are not in alphabetical order, but we are going to start with Arizona. Now, I want to just quickly say, I'm not talking about states like Missouri or Kentucky or Tennessee or California or Oregon or Washington, where the numbers are so skewed that it's not even worth talking about, right? I'm talking about the key states that the president has to win in order to win, or that the former vice president and a presumptive candidate for the Democrats is going to have to win in order to win enough electoral votes to be the president of the United States next year. So we're going to start with Arizona. Arizona is actually becoming a must-win for President Trump because of the challenges he faces in other battleground states and because this is a state that usually votes Republican. The average of all the recent polls is Biden 48-8 and Trump 45%. Now, the most recent polls show about a 2-point difference between the two candidates, so Arizona is impossible to predict at this point. Essentially, that is a statistical tie, you know, a little bit, give or take, depending on what the most recent poll shows. You can look at the Senate race between Democrat Mark Kelly and incumbent Senator Martha McSally as a possible indicator. Kelly averages a near 7-point lead up to a certain point, but here, too, the poll results are tightening to within 2 points. So you could have said that Democrats have the advantage in Arizona 3 weeks ago. Now you have to say that both the presidential and Senate races are tied, and that's as good as it gets. And it doesn't matter whether the Republican or Democrat in any of those races have the lead when it's statistically a tie, okay? Much has been made of the Biden lead in Florida. When you average the last several polls, Biden is at 49.8 and the president is at 43.8%. So it looks pretty solid for Biden. That's a 5-point lead, roughly. Yeah, it's a 5-point lead. Almost a 6-point lead. Clearly, the situation for the president is improving since July 22nd, when a 3,000 sample poll showed Biden with a 6-point lead, the source of the breathless talk about Democrats winning Florida. And they may win Florida, But the latest 3,000 sample poll on the 29th of July shows that Biden has a 3-point lead and it has a roughly 2% margin of error. So it is, you know, 49 Biden, 46 Trump. And so I would say that that race is now tied. Now, when you hear someone like Charlie Cook or Sean Trendy or others talking about these presidential races, or a New York Times reporter, let's say, or Washington Post reporter who may have inside information, well, I don't have that information. I just have the polls. And so I'm not going to, you know, start quoting what somebody said that somebody else said, or a rumor that somebody else had heard about. So you look right at the polls and you look at the averages, and then you look at the last four or five polls one-on-one, and you come up with a conclusion. And that's the conclusion that I'm making. Georgia. Let's talk about Georgia. Georgia is like the eastern Arizona. It is a state Republicans have been able to count on for years. Pundits have been watching this closely because at least one Democrat, Stacey Abrams, has been mentioned as a potential choice for Biden's running mate. And Georgia, you know, historically has been a state you could normally call for Republicans. But currently it's pretty close. So when individual polls have shown presumed Democratic candidate Joe Biden 2 or 3 points ahead of the president, it's been a big deal. The average of all the recent polls is Trump at 47.4, Biden at 45.8. Most recently, both guys are straight up tied at 47%. So no, there is no clear advantage for either the president or the former vice president in Georgia right now, period. That doesn't mean it won't emerge or wouldn't emerge for either candidate, but right now it's literally too close. It is a tied situation. In 2016, Republicans managed to win pluralities in some of the top-tier Midwestern states, in particular Wisconsin and Michigan. Right now, the average in Michigan is clearly to the Democrats' advantage, with Biden at 49.7% and Trump at 41.3%. Now, the polls since my last podcast roundup have not indicated any real advantage or trend upward for the president in Michigan. There is an SPRY strategies poll, more about SPRY later, which showed the president at 50% on July 22nd, but the average for Trump has been roughly 42%. So the mean there is around 42-43%, and he's not gaining unless you look at SPRY. And again, I'm going to talk about that shortly. On Biden. And so this is one of the reasons that Trump is concerned, because this was a state that they kind of got lucky with in 2016, because Hillary Clinton famously refused to campaign there. The president has to win North Carolina. It is another state which has tended to vote Republican in recent memory. When you average the polls, Biden is at 48.4% and Trump is at 46.4%, technically a tie. But in a state like North Carolina, which is becoming more purple given Charlotte and some other more progressive southern cities in the state, the fact that when you average the polls, Trump trails Biden is also something that should be of great concern to the Republicans. Here again, the SPRY and Cardinal Analytics polls, which I'm going to talk about shortly, showed the president at 50% leading Biden, but these appear to be outliers. Doesn't mean that they're wrong. It means that those two polls both showed the president with 50%, and the other polls don't show that. More about that later as well. In 2016, the president carried Pennsylvania by a very thin plurality. In fact, the numbers didn't come in from Pennsylvania, certified until late on election night. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and there was talk of a recount, which, as I recall, didn't materialize. In any case, Trump must win Pennsylvania with its 20 electoral votes. Why do you say that, Bob Davis? Well, because he is dealing with so few states with so few electoral votes that he has to win Pennsylvania, because Pennsylvania has something like 20 electoral votes. The current average in the Keystone State is Biden 48.6 and Trump 44. Included in that average is also another SPRY strategies poll, which shows Trump in the lead in Pennsylvania. And I believe it's one of the only ones that shows that. Most of the recent polls show the former vice president, who is from neighboring Delaware, at roughly 2 points ahead. All of it is too close to call. Very quick reminder is that, like Wisconsin, western Pennsylvania tends to come in for Republicans, and eastern Pennsylvania tends to come in for Democrats. So Joe is going to run good in eastern Pennsylvania because it's right there by Delaware, right? basically. Wisconsin is another state the president won in 2016 with a plurality of votes, and it is another of the top-tier states he has to win in 2020. So Biden currently averages roughly 48%, Trump averages 43%. Recent polls have shown as much as a 7 or 8 point lead for Joe Biden. Biden currently holds a firm lead by averages and individual polls in Wisconsin. Remember, the president won Wisconsin. So you take Michigan and Wisconsin off the table, and we'll talk about that later too. Now, because these other states, the top tier Midwestern states, Pennsylvania, maybe Ohio, are in question, suddenly Colorado looms as a potential fertile territory for the president to, quote, convert voters to his side. Right now, Biden averages at least a 10-point lead, and in many recent polls, well past 10 points. So while the hope springs eternal here, Republicans have probably taken Colorado off the board in their strategy rooms for the president. I don't mention Iowa as a real battleground because it's usually a fair bet for Republicans, despite all the attention on Democrats during the ill-fated caucuses back in January and February. Certainly, there's been a lot of talk about Iowa Senator Joni Ernst being in trouble, and there have been some notable flips when it comes to House seats there in 2018. But let's not forget the state's other Senator Chuck Grassley, not up this year, one of the Republicans in Senate leadership and a senior Republican senator. So the average of the poll shows Biden with a 47.5 and Trump with a 47% number, although individual polls with solid sample sizes show the president recently with a 1 point lead. Iowa has always been close, but this one is tied right now. So if the president were to lose Iowa, that puts, again, a lot more pressure on Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota when it comes to the Midwest. And, that's an indication. So if you see on election night that he's lost Wisconsin and Michigan, then you should be paying close attention to Arizona and Minnesota. If you want to be the president, you have to win Ohio, or so the saying goes. This is especially true with Republicans. Biden currently averages a 2-point lead in the Buckeye state, but recent polls with good sample sizes show Trump with a roughly 2-point lead. So Ohio, statistically, is tied. No one is leading in Ohio. Now, the last big battleground state when it comes to Republicans and Democrats is Texas. Much has been made of a poll or two showing big leads for the former vice president in the Lone Star State. The averages currently show Biden with 45.6% and Trump with 45%. Statistically, there's no difference between those numbers. Individual polls, so they average the polls, that's the top line, and then if you're looking at 270 to win or realclearpolitics.com, then you look at the individual polls and you check the dates after, and usually they only average the last six or seven. 270 to win .com averages the last six or seven polls. I don't know what Real Clear Politics does anymore. I don't go there anymore because there's so many ads that your computer burns up. So I've just stopped doing Real Clear Politics. Anyway, individual polls then that follow the averaging, and they all have good sample sizes, around the 22nd of July, and you always look at the dates, basically show flip-flopping leads close to or within the margins of error. So basically, the situation is this. Texas is tied. So no matter what hopefuls and media on both sides say, if you review most of these states, and if you look at the last five, six polls, they're just too close right now. And these polls will tighten as we get closer to Election Day. And they're also dependent on day-to-day news. So I just want to make a point here, and that is this, that the big movement in polling prior to the current time frame, so going back to early June and mid-June, was after the George Floyd death and then after the reaction to the George Floyd death. And the president took a hit in some of these places that I've talked about. And obviously, he's taken a hit in the media, and he's taken a hit, he takes a hit every day of one kind or another, right? And so that's why I say that local events and national events can influence what goes on in Ohio or Texas or Florida. Now, I think it's important to point out misinformation and conspiracy theory videos, especially regarding coronavirus and COVID-19. It's very interesting because during the whole George Floyd thing, nobody talked about coronavirus. Then there was the big open up campaign. These states opened up and we had all the protests, and now we have, for the first time, we have a death rate equal to that of May, and suddenly we're confronted with a possibility of a second wave before we were supposed to get it. And of course, now all the fake videos are starting to come out about how if you take certain kinds of medicine, you're going to be okay, or it's all a hoax, it's the plandemic, and so forth and so on. And then they have to be taken down, and that just reinforces this idea that there's some kind of subterfuge going on as it pertains to the pandemic. I don't know, and I'm not making any demonstrations or statements regarding what the story is one way or another. I guess what I'm trying to say is that if this is something that's being done and orchestrated by, let's say, the White House, and I believe it is, then ends up as an effort to confuse voters from thinking the virus is getting worse or better, and essentially to obviate it as a campaign issue. Also want to make a point about polls being conducted by pro right-wing groups in an effort to skew averages. This is my own perception. So SPRY and the North Carolina poll that I mentioned earlier, if you look up those polling companies, you're going to find connections to anti-abortion groups. You're going to find connection to right-wing groups. And my suspicion is that there's some money that's been put out there for these guys to do polling. And in an attempt, since now suddenly analysts are aware that we look at averages, right? And if we can get enough analysts and enough people talking about averages and saying that Trump's in trouble or vice versa, well, then you've accomplished something. And I don't trust the SPRY polls, although there are a few that shows Biden in the lead. I think they're throwing these polls in there to hopefully get a little bit better result for the president. Now, does that mean that they're inaccurate? No. It just means that they've done something that shows tighter races in some of the states where they're doing this polling, and they're popping up in the states like North Carolina and Arizona, places like that, and Texas, where a 6-point lead, let's say, by Biden is a big story. So I would watch out for that. If they're making an effort to skew the poll averages, I think that's important. Now, I want to make some final points here. So Trump is powerfully challenged in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Arizona. And 2016 Republican wins in Texas and Florida, Georgia, and even North Carolina are kind of up for grabs. And I say kind of because for me to say they're up for grabs, I don't know. The other thing is that Ohio remains, I would say, very close with a slight advantage in the polls for Biden. This is very similar to what we were seeing in the similar time frame in 2016. So that doesn't mean necessarily that the result is going to go the same for the president that it did in 2016, but this idea that Biden has this huge lead, and this comes from looking at the national polls where he does have a huge lead, but the national polls aren't battleground state polls, and so this is why I'm doing this. So again, some final disclaimers. Again, who's going to win is the dumbest question in politics, because I can't tell you that. And it doesn't matter what you ask me, because I can't tell you that, because every single one of these battleground states is statistically very close, with a few exceptions. And those are the key things. And so that's important. All these states have geographic, psychographic, and demographic wrinkles that can determine the outcome of the statewide presidential vote. But if you plug the current numbers and advantages and disadvantages into an electoral map as they are, right? So this is just the conditions that currently exist today, which is July 29th, right? It's clear the path to a traditional victory for Donald Trump right now is very narrow and very tight. Now, it all depends on who votes. First, with all the noise about mail-in ballots from Republicans, historically, there hasn't really been any advantage for either party. And if anyone has benefited from absentee ballots, it's the Republicans. And to my knowledge, my understanding is, from my own experience, Republicans have been pushing absentee ballots since the Bush administration. Second, we have heard a lot of anecdotal stories about this so-called silent majority of Trump supporters, and essentially making the point how Trump supporters aren't going to tell pollsters who they're going to vote for, and they're going to come out in droves. And they'll point to some of these polls show fairly large, quote unquote, undecided or quote unquote, independent voters. Well, here's the thing. I don't believe in independent voters. I think that there are a lot of people that don't want to say who they're going to vote for. And I think there's a lot of people that genuinely wait till the last minute to make a decision. So they're just Republicans and Democrats who are waiting to make the decision. They're not really truly independent voters, because if they are, they're going to vote Libertarian or something else. There is certainly a lot of non-committal potential voters showing up in these polls, like I said, but I wouldn't pay too much attention to them, because what matters is which campaign gets their people out to vote. Truth is, Democrats struggle with younger adults and minorities when it comes to voting, and as you're going to see, immigrants. Republicans are just basically lazy most of the time, expecting someone else to do the work for them. And so Republicans really struggle to get Fat Joe off the couch to go vote. I would say if you really want your vote to count, go down to the polling place on election day and vote. Don't rely on a mail-in ballot, because we don't know how those votes are going to be counted depending on the state. And many of those mail-in ballots may end up being challenged or disqualified if the votes in key states are recounted or challenged if it's a close race in those states. Remember, 0.5, 1%, those were the margins for this president in places like Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, give or take. I don't know what the numbers were in the final analysis, but they were pluralities. They were not large majorities. And what we're looking for, both parties are looking for slam dunk. They want to win by a landslide. And if, you know, the Electoral College is designed to create a quote unquote landslide. When somebody says landslide to me, I think Johnson in 64, I think Reagan in 1980 or 1984, when they won the popular vote by 60% or more. That's a landslide. An electoral landslide can occur without a landslide, quote unquote, in the popular vote. So what you're looking at is close elections in every state, and 1 and 2% and 0.5% leads so far. And if it continues to play out that way, it's going to be a very long election night when they cover the final results on November 3rd. Nobody can predict the future, which is why I think this is the dumbest question in politics, who's going to win. But I will say this. If anything, this may or may not be a landslide election. As I just told you, this will probably be another election, one on the margins, which means all the votes really count. 100 votes will count. 10 votes will count. One vote in a precinct will count. So if you don't vote, whether you're Democrat or Republican, then no whining and complaining and crying. Because if you don't vote, then you don't vote, right? So don't not vote. If you really care about who wins, don't ask somebody the dumbest question in politics. Get off your ass and go vote. It also needs to be said for both sides. Control of Congress and individual states depend on those down ticket choices. Now, we are living through an unprecedented period of propaganda and manipulation by unseen forces, both in the United States and outside the United States, by political parties and operatives using social media to manipulate people. We know it. We know, for example, that as many as half of the people that were promoting the Open Up campaigns on Twitter were fake. I've done podcasts about the fake people on Facebook by political parties and operatives who are trying to control what you think. And it's too bad, but it's real and it's true that both sides will balk at nothing and will do anything and say anything to win. If you're posting stuff on social media, do yourself a favor. Take a little time to research it. And don't just go, oh, it's from this organization, the Tea Party. Never is it ever exclusively from the Tea Party or from quote-unquote Antifa. It's put up by somebody. Find out who that person is and who put it up and who paid for it. Because where the funding comes from is the key. Who are the principals is the key. Who did the video is the key. And most of the time, it's nonsense what you're putting up. So why put it up, right? Now, I'll see you for the next roundup in about 30 days, unless something else happens that causes a realignment or causes these polls to change. Well, I always ask the question, why pay more to print? I think it's a great question, because if you hate your printer because you are paying too much for print cartridges, call Cartridge World in Maple Grove, 763-420-6632. They can save you tons of money. Free delivery, serving the entire state from Maple Grove, 763-420-6632, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Remember, manufacturers, if you are still manufacturing stuff overseas and you're looking to bring some of that manufacturing back to the U.S., don't forget Depot Star, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit them online at depotstar.com. Well, there's so many different ways that I can go with this. Just sitting out here in the truck and thinking about this truck being all over Iowa and all over Texas and all over the South this year. Covering these caucuses and the early parts of the presidential campaign, which actually just ended when the coronavirus pandemic really kicked in. So many different things I could talk about. I think it is fair to say that the media has a love-hate relationship with Donald Trump, or hate-love relationship with Donald Trump. This is not to pick a candidate. It is not to say that Joe Biden isn't going to win. It's not to say that Donald Trump is chosen by God to be the president or anything else. It's to say that they're setting you up with an expectation, which I don't think that they have any reasonable reason to say. But see, you don't sell newspapers saying that it's too close to call. You sell newspapers saying so-and-so is going to win by a landslide, which again attempts to answer the dumbest question in politics. Who's going to win? Couldn't tell you. That's why we play the game. Thanks for listening to podcast 944, the Bob Davis Podcast, another poll roundup, and we'll get into it again in about a month.
I fall off my chair, and I'm wondering how I get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.